What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I'm John Batchelor, seeking comment on prohibiting the importation and marketing of certain foreign-produced military-grade uncrewed aircraft systems. I stop there because I welcome Jack Burnham, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, to explain that extremely complicated presentation. We're talking about drones, yes, but foreign-produced military-grade uncrewed aircraft systems sounds to me like electronics, and that can be dual use. Jack, a very good evening to you. The concern here is the Federal Communications Commission is looking at uncrewed aircraft systems coming into this country. Have been heretofore understood as commercial enterprises. There are many applications, including as toys. What has happened that has changed your opinion of what must be done to stop the not only the parts coming in, but the supply chains itself? Good evening to you, Jack.
Thank you for having me. I think the way that I see the recent FCC action on military-grade drones is really a continuation of the FCC's previous efforts. The first was on banning foreign-produced drones and placing them on the covered list. There was a concern in particular around certain components produced by Chinese firms DJI and Atel Robotics. Those were also placed on the covered list. And so the FCC has repeatedly placed more and more restrictions on certain products entering the United States due to some of the supply chain and security concerns. In this particular instance, the FCC is taking it a step further, not only recognizing the risk of supply chains being dominated by foreign adversaries, but also a particular part of the market, and this is where the military grade comes in. And so the FCC is looking to define this particular part of the market of these much larger, more expansive drones that can fly much further than your typical hobbyist drone, can carry far more weight, that have a much more diverse sensor array. All of these capabilities that, yes, exist within commercial systems, but also increasingly exist within military systems as well, as you've seen in Ukraine, in the Middle East, and elsewhere. And so really what the FCC is trying to target is this combination of products that are foreign produced, potentially running through adversarial controlled supply chains, as well as products that have a significant dual use capability that can be used both in civilian, but also in military settings.
The concern is, starts at 55 pounds. What does that mean, 55 pounds? Is that a red line? Anything heavier than that is hostile?
The concern around the weight is also essentially the FCC trying to streamline and to harmonize some of its regulations with other parts of the federal government, particularly the Federal Aviation Administration. And so the FAA uses that 55-pound guideline as a cutoff for requiring different types of licenses for operators. And so the FCC is essentially saying that these operators already need to get additional licenses. The products that they use should also come under additional scrutiny. So it's an attempt to harmonize between what the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, is already doing, as well as what the FCC is looking at where some of the concerns might be. And to note and to recognize that these drones that can carry, 55 pounds and up, these are starting to get into drones that, can carry in some cases hundreds of pounds, 200, 300. That type of capability is, yes, it has a commercial aspect, whether it be in agriculture or others. But that weight class is also the type that's being used, for example, in Iran, of having a Shahed drone that's, able to carry 100, 200, 250 pounds. That's starting to become a different type of class than the smaller hobbyist drones, which might be able to carry 40 pounds, a camera or some type of small sensor array.
You make a distinction about military grade. What is that? Why that distinction? What's the difference?
I think the distinction around military grade is really trying to put some boundaries around what does dual use mean when it comes to drones. You know, in other types of areas, you know, for AI chips or other types of technologies, there's the concept of dual use that has a military and it has a civilian setting. I think what the FCC is trying to do is to draw that line around drones in particular of these are the types of capabilities that should be considered when we think about what does dual use mean in the drone space. And so, you know, discussions around how much weight can be carried, what type of sensors can they carry, what type of mission sets could they accomplish? These are the types of things that the FCC is looking at when they're looking at what does that definition of dual use mean when it comes to regulating drones. And so I think the FCC is trying to come up with a suitable definition that's carving out some of the commercial uses or commercial systems that should be considered military grade, that should be, you know, freely available in the market from some of these systems in which the risk profile tends to be far higher than it would be otherwise.
You're also concerned with the supply chain. To what end? And where the supply chain, not only China, I'm presuming, there are other dual-use technologies.
Right. And I think that's something that's a critical aspect here is where it's coming around the foreign produce. And I think that's something that's important to note because there's a lot of countries, Israel, Ukraine, Taiwan, other foreign countries that produce military grade drones.
Sure.
That these are things that the United States wants to purchase. You know, the United States wants to purchase the best and brightest technologies from its allies and partners in Europe and in the Indo-Pacific and elsewhere. And there isn't really where the concern lies. The concern lies particularly in countries, you know, predominantly China, that produce that have a preponderance of market share within the drone sector, but whose products come with documented security vulnerabilities. And so it's a way of combining some concerns around foreign adversaries within the drone space in a broader way. And so I think something that the FCC was very careful to note is that drones that have already been cleared to enter the United States market, you know, that are already being purchased by the Department of Defense, that are produced by foreign countries, whether that be Ukraine or Israel or Taiwan, those products are cleared to come into the United States. Those are the types of products that the United States is looking to purchase and looking to build partnerships with. It's defining those products versus products that are made by foreign adversaries. And I think that's something that the FCC is looking very closely at.
We go from the Federal Communications Commission to the FAA. This is an incident that took place nearly 2 years ago. In November 2024, I read from the reporting at FTD. Federal authorities arrested a man for allegedly flying an unregistered drone over Vandenberg Space Force Base and photographing the installation. So we do not have laws that forbid someone flying around at a secure base. How about any city? Do we have laws of any city that using a drone as either a weapon or a surveillance aircraft?
So I think this is a gap that's really important to note. So certainly trespassing remains a crime. Interdicting the flow of aviation traffic, so for example, flying around airports remains a crime. The FAA has taken steps to mitigate the threat of drones or other types of flying objects around sensitive facilities. Here in this case, The gap remains is that there are plenty of facilities, critical infrastructure. So that includes, substations on our power grid, hospitals, these types of facilities that are still critical to the national security of the United States, but aren't necessarily afforded the same types of protections that something like a military base or an airport would be afforded. And so the gap here is that there's this key part of the American economy that isn't really being afforded the same types of protections as it should be. And so that's something where the FAA is looking into, well, how should we shape regulation around securing this part of our infrastructure that isn't necessarily military, it's not necessarily an airport, but still has a critical national security implications for the United States.
And is the Trump administration open to this, moving effectively to define the threat?
So I would say that the Trump administration has actually really moved the ball forward on this issue quite effectively. A year ago, the Trump administration released two executive orders exactly on this topic, on the need to secure the sovereignty of America's airspace, and actually noted in quite vivid terms the threat posed by unidentified drones or other unidentified flying objects, not UFOs, not aliens, but other unidentified flying objects in the United States' airspace. And so as a result, the administration actually has been very forward-leaning in dealing with this threat in a variety of different ways. And this is, as the executive order has come to pass, this is a way of the FAA is looking to institutionalize and regulate some of the desires and demands that were outlined in that executive order.
Jack Burnham at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy is a senior analyst. I'm John Batchelor.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.